So I read an interesting article this week in The Atlantic, and the title of it was A Gentler, Better Way to Change Minds. I was like, ooh, okay. And the author kind of set up this premise of, because you've probably ran into it, those people that no matter what you say to them, they'll always take it the opposite way that you mean it. Or those that you try to engage in conversation and you just don't quite know where they come from. Like, how did they get to this point of view when before they were such rational creatures? And they kind of seem a little irrational. And you're like, I don't get that. But the author's idea was how we approach those conversations. How sometimes when people try to engage us, it might feel like an attack. And I don't know about you, but when I feel attacked, I shut down. I will respond. I'll be like, yes, okay, great, thank you. But there's just like this wall that is now between me and the person. And so his idea was a gentler approach. Instead of an attack, help with it being a gift. A gift of kind of why we hold our views, what makes us who we are. And I was thinking about how that kind of worked into this idea of with the Thessalonians. And if you read most of the letters from Paul or Peter or John, most of them start their letter with greetings and thanks. See, thank you. And with Paul, especially as we are moving into 1 Thessalonians, after we covered Philippians, I was thinking of that gentler manner, that welcome and thanks that he gives, but he still holds on to those three truths that he's trying to get the different communities to understand, kind of shore them up in their faith as they are continually attacked by those that don't understand what they're doing. Why are you following this guy, this Christ? Why has your whole life been changed? And how he presents that faith, hope, and love continually kind of evolves and changes as he's working within those different communities. And it's kind of helping them to allow them to hear the positive things that he sees within them, that he's encouraging them and revealing to them. And I really appreciate how he frames his letters. Because if we understand about the city of Thessalonica, where the Thessalonians live. Like I said, just not, word, never mind. It is one of the major cities of the Roman Empire. In fact, it was named after one of the emperor's sisters because of what a major trade center it was for the Roman Empire. So if you can imagine Paul going into this when he set up the church, and he's basically telling these people that have decided, like, they're intrigued by this Christ and the Son of God and the Holy Spirit, but they're totally changing their idea of the culture. Because before, with Rome, it was all different gods they would worship, deities, you name it. They had someone for that specific thing that they needed. You wanted to get pregnant? Great, well, worship this guy. If you want to do this, worship this person. And so he's asking them, and he's encouraging them, as they're shifting their understanding and forming and following Christ, he wants to encourage them to keep going, to not be, when they're being attacked, to not attack back, but rather let their actions show the people what and how they live out these beliefs. which kind of reminded me when I first became a chaplain. And I remember my first shift in the ED, and I had a mentor who had been an ED chaplain for years and years and years. And his words to me were, "This is your church. These people, the staff and all those people that make up the ED, they are your church." I'm like, okay, that's a different approach, all right. And so first thing I went to go, and I went to talk to the charge nurse, otherwise known as she who rules the world. People get this that work in the hospital. And the HUC, another person that rules the world. And I went up to him, you know, a puppy basically going, "Hi, I'm Chaplain," and da-da-da. And she looks at me deadpan and she goes, "I do not want to hear your words. I want to see how you treat the people. When I see how you treat them, then we can engage in conversation because your actions are louder than your words to me." It's like, okay. So I did. I took care of the people, and then I got room at the conversation, and it was amazing that when we see what our actions are, when we live out our convictions and our truths that we hold dear to us, when we live out our faith in ways that people don't understand, and they kind of look at you like, okay, you're a little crazy, but when you live that out, it's so impactful and so meaningful to those that you are around. And that's kind of Paul's understanding and what he's trying to communicate. Because the things that he's lived out, the actions that he's done when he became a follower of Christ in this new way, had much more impact than his words could have. He followed them up. His actions followed up his words. And that was so impactful. So for us, our thoughts of today is how we can switch our focus, because we're focused inward at times in our own formation and continual living out this word and this call that's been placed on our hearts. But when we focus outward, how can we impact the world around us? How can we respond to the needs of the brokenness that we see around us in the world? Because part of that is that Christ loves us in our brokenness and enables us to love others in their brokenness. And when we are inspired by that challenge to see how we respond to others, how we react, how we engage, it gives light to those who might be surrounded by darkness, that don't understand, that are yearning for that deeper connection, but they don't know what it is. We can be that beacon of light to them in our actions and in how we connect with the community. We can be a beacon of light that says, "Welcome, come in, sit down, and just absorb the love of God that is in this space and in us as people." So back to that article in Atlantic to wrap up. So they kind of said, like, there's three kind of ideas to help in our giving a gift rather than, you know, being attacked or when we sometimes get a little, you know, hot-headed about stuff, is how we present ourselves. How we present our hope, faith, and love as a gift. It's this great gift that is for all who engage with us, for those that we try to engage with. And like what Christ tells us in some of the earlier Gospels, is you could be rejected in your own hometown to kick the dust off your garments and continue walking. But don't take it personally. Don't take that rejection personally. That was one thing. And the other thing that it was saying is that this gift is something that we believe to be good for the recipient, who we hope presented in love, not insults or hatred, that we live out our faith, our love in action. to live that out in our actions and in our words and in that hope that we hold on to each and every day. And through that, we can make a difference not only in the lives of those that we interact with, but potentially the lives of the greater outdoors. Amen.